12.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survived, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning, as usual on Friday morning, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, you go right ahead. What are we going to be talking about this morning?
Well, the main story is the gun control issue and Obama's executive orders. As I pointed out last week, there is no authority for the president to alter or enact laws through an executive order. He can only give instructions to federal departments relative to implementing what is already law, although presidents are always stepping around or over those limits. This week, it appears that the White House legal staff gave the same message to Obama's handlers: you can't ban guns via executive order. And they only conceded that because they didn't want to risk getting into an impeachment battle, which would alert the public to this legal restraint on executive orders. So the battle is now about stopping the plethora of gun bills at both the federal and state level. And this week I'm also covering the claims that the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. Well, former Attorney General Edwin Meese of the Reagan administration gave a not-so-subtle warning on Newsmax that President Obama could be impeached if he bypassed Congress and enacted gun control legislation by executive order. That message obviously got through, that the president's speechwriters put out this recent executive order was nothing but a wish list of studies and passive initiatives that have nothing to do with actually banning guns, thankfully. And so in the brief, I give a summary, which I won't go through, but, you know, it's just something like, you know, get a new ATF, they just loaded this, or get a new ATF director, they just loaded this executive order with just, you know, random memorandums about doing studies and finding out what's the best way to safeguard schools. I mean, nothing directs anything hardly in this. So it was really a success on the part of the opposition to have defused this executive order so that it was gutless. And about half of this list has to do with controlling people with Obamacare regulations on mental health. And this reveals, in my opinion, a dangerous emerging trend to use mental health issues to control dissidents in the nation and deny them their Second Amendment rights. It's going to take a while, but I think that's where they're headed.
Well, I'm sure that they are, but anyway, at least for the time being, why they've certainly put off efforts to, certainly try to take away and disarm the American people. I think that that's really what the agenda is, but they realize, at least at this point, the American people will not go along with it. And I hate to say it, but I think the NRA did a great job. Apparently, they ran lots of advertisements, certainly pointing out that Barack Obama wants to take the guns away from the people so they can't defend themselves, but he sends his daughters to a school that has 11 armed guards. And they call him a hypocrite, and the White House was furious I mean, how dare they say such things about the president? And, of course, I think everybody knows it's true. Go right ahead.
Well, it's very true. And, you know, it's just like all of the gun grabbers have personal weapons themselves or armed guards, and but they don't want the rest of us to have them. But going back to the mental health issue, they're cropping up in all of the state and federal gun ban proposals. They use a danger standard for ruling someone mentally unstable and ineligible to possess a weapon. That is, the certification by a single psychiatrist, which is not nearly enough protection, given the fact that too many psychiatrists are on the pay of the dark side of government, or they can be coerced into doing their bidding by threatening their license to practice. All of these shooters who commit massacres and then suicide have been under the care of someone licensed to dispense these psychotropic drugs, which also means they're tied to a psychiatrist or psychologist. We should use the same standard as required to commit someone taking away their freedom, certification by two psychiatrists that a person is a direct threat to himself or others, and further justified only when there's a verifiable history of dangerous actions, not simply because some professional gave his opinion that he's mentally unstable. That's very, very dangerous, to take away rights based upon the mere opinion of some professional. Furthermore, there should be no diminution of rights without a public hearing, with the right of an attorney and the right to appeal to a jury trial. Well, we cannot be too careful about putting up a wall of resistance to the state's ability to use mental illness as an excuse for incarceration. Soviets used it all the time to prosecute dissidents and inject them with drugs that did, in fact, drive many of them insane. It's very interesting that as we consider the legislative push, the nation's left liberal newspapers are uniformly in favor of gun control, and they can barely maintain the normal illusion of neutrality, as we know that the media is anything but neutral. The Washington Post was typical of the media this week, claiming that President Obama has the public on his side on gun proposals, they say. But less than 24 hours after President Obama unveiled his proposed legislation, they are being met with a lukewarm, at best, reaction on Capitol Hill. And that's because congressmen know what happens when they vote for gun control. A lot of them get unelected. But Obama doesn't have to face the voters again, so he has nothing to lose. His public pronouncements on gun control played up, protecting children to the maximum, prompting Rush Limbaugh to characterize the announcement ceremony as the Children as Human Shields show. We haven't seen the last of playing on people's emotions about children. Well, the NRA, as you mentioned, rightly released two hard-hitting videos accusing the president and NBC News' David Gregory of being hypocrites as they send their children to private schools with armed guards. Fox News noted that some Senate Democrats are fearful of endorsing this much gun control. President Obama's gun control package was always going to be a tough sell in the Republican-led House. But the plan is already running into resistance, or at least hesitation, from moderate Democrats in the Senate. They said the lukewarm response in the Senate to Obama's highly anticipated gun violence plan portends an uphill climb for the legislation. No Democrat in the Senate came out against his plan, but several appeared on the fence or noncommittal when they were being interviewed by the press. So this is going to be a tough road for Democrats, because some of them are going to get really upset, especially Southern Democrats, going to upset their constituency. Now, while it appears that the administration doesn't have the votes to enact a gun ban in the House, there's a flurry of propaganda to pass limits on the size of magazines and require mandatory background checks for every gun purchase or transfer. Journalist Brett LaGuardo.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Joel Scouse.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, discussing the fact that the vast majority of the American people do not want anything to take away their weapons, realizing, of course, there's a relationship between an armed populace and freedom. And, of course, on the other side, the people who want everything regulated by government and government bureaucrats, and, of course, with the loss of freedom, and you do that by disarming the public. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, in fact, a lot of polls taken in big cities are coming out supposedly overwhelmingly in favor that everybody supposedly agrees on background checks. More than 9 in 10 Americans, including 85% of NRA members, support stricter background checks on potential gun buyers, according to a CBS New York Times poll, and that's somewhat skewed because it's always done in the big cities. The NRA has also signaled a change on the issues Thursday when President David Keene was telling CBS that the association was generally supportive of more intensive background checks. Well, what could be wrong with that? Well, there's plenty. First of all, it won't be instant checks anymore. There will be a long waiting period while the ATF searches medical records, and no longer will the background check be cut and dried based upon felonies only. They will be sifting through any records that indicate a person has had psychiatric care. How many millions of kids have been diagnosed with ADHD and put on drugs? Is this going to be forever disqualify them from buying a gun? Perhaps not, but once the process becomes mired down in opinions rather than facts, then permission to buy can be held in limbo for years for certain people. Also, this is a backdoor means of gaining information on every gun owner over time. By forcing private sellers to report every transfer and get a background check on the buyer, the government gets the contact info for both on their database, and that weapon will always be tied to the seller. Worse, it eliminates one of the few ways of severing the traceability of firearms previously registered. If they come for your guns under current law, you can provide a sales slip from an anonymous buyer showing you don't have the weapon anymore, and suddenly the government has lost its traceability back to you. No more with this provision. It becomes illegal to transfer anonymously, and that's what this is all about. They'll still want registrations.
And I agree with you. Who is going to do the background check? That is what nobody ever asks. And what are the stipulations going to be? What are they going to be checking? Maybe they're going to be checking your political attitudes and how you feel about the government, and whether you trust the government, or whether you have one of these crazy people who believes there's a conspiracy. I mean, certainly this is such an open-end situation, you would think that everybody would be crying out. The last thing we want is any sort of federal government having background checks.
Well, that's the problem. You see, background checks are an implicit right to deny.
Sure.
their right as a government to deny you. You are having to request permission to get a gun from them. And you see, rather than before, which was they have to issue a permit unless you're a felon, now is they don't have to issue a permit until they decide. So it becomes a whole new ballgame. So this is very disturbing that on its surface it appears that people can be so easily talked into, well, what's wrong with background check? Sure, everybody, well, it's not the same kind of background check. That's my warning here.
I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, Adam Lanza, the young man who supposedly did the shooting at Sandy Hook, and we don't know what really happened, but assuming he did, but he didn't get the guns. He simply stole the guns. And we see this time after time as people stealing guns, even stealing guns from police officers. Background checks don't do a bit of good or do very little good. Go right ahead.
Well, that's right. And the same thing with the Clackamastown town center shooting in Oregon. He stole a friend's weapon, too. So none of this, you see, does anything but corral lawful gun owners and put them under the onus of having to get permission from government to get a weapon.
And what government does it? Should this be your local police? Well, you may say, well, I'm not so concerned about my local police. But they want this federal checking on everybody who gets a gun. That's the problem.
That's right. Now, it seems like all the gun grabbers are reading out of the same playbook. States can either help protect us from federal power or even do more damage since they aren't, you know, strictly liable to abide by the first 10 amendments. We have to remember that the delegates to the Constitutional Convention specifically defeated an amendment making the Bill of Rights apply to the states. Don't expect any help from the so-called conservatives on the Supreme Court either. Antonin Scalia, you know, has just recently written that there's a, you know, no real basic right or protection from the states enacting any kind of gun control that they want. He said in his book, A Matter of Interpretation, of course, properly understood, the Second Amendment is no limitation upon arms controlled by the states. Well, looking at the New York City or New York State gun ban they passed this week, it's a pattern. Several Democratic states are following not only a ban on assault weapons, but a ban on magazines that hold more than 7 rounds, require universal background checks for all gun sales, regardless of whether they're private or person-to-person. And that means that every person who sells a gun has to get in touch and give his name and address to the ATF, and I think that's what they're going to do. And it's going to take place immediately. They've got the brand new form of grandfathering clause, which basically says that you can be grandfathered only if you register a weapon so that it becomes exempted from this ban. Among them, of course, is a policy of making it a felony to carry a firearm on school grounds, and this applies unjustly, regardless, without regards to whether someone accidentally forgets to leave a concealed weapon in his car or if you're a real felon. You know, when you have these kind of mandatory laws that doesn't distinguish between innocent violations of the law and felonious violations of the law, then you've got a real problem.
But our schools should not be gun-free. We need to have people on those campuses to protect the children because of the situation that we have created. I mean, basically, the gun-free laws guarantee that children are going to be killed. If you're concerned about children, you need somebody to protect them, and you need somebody with a weapon. And that's why teachers or administrators should be allowed to carry weapons, should be encouraged to carry weapons. You talk about concern about the children. We want to protect our children. You don't do it by making certain, absolutely by law, that there'll be nobody there to protect them, and nobody wants to say that.
Yes, that's exactly what they do with the gun-free zone, and that's exactly what Israel does not do. You know, you have people who are IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, can even carry their weapons slung over their shoulders. They go through town. I saw that many times when I visited Israel. A lot of weapons around, and that's a real deterrent to any terrorist trying to shoot up people. Well, it's interesting that The New York law also sets up background checks for people who want to buy ammunition as well, not just guns. And this tracks, this is meant to track all the rest of the gun owners who don't comply with registration. If you ever buy ammunition, you've got to go through a background check. They're building a list on who's got weapons in the United States, and that's why gun confiscation is not around the corner. They need to build these lists more and get gun registration before they start to confiscate, but they're clearly headed in that direction. So where does that leave those who choose not to comply with registration? Well, first, it means you should leave any state that has such a requirement and take your weapons out of state as soon as possible. Anyone who chooses to stay in a state that bans these kinds of weapons would have to hide those weapons and never take them out in public to practice some constructed underground range. The easiest way to do that is to bury a 3-foot plastic culvert underground leading away from your basement and line it with some sound insulation to absorb noise. Then you use horizontal pulley systems to retrieve targets from the end of the tunnel. As for hiding weapons, that isn't always so easy. Buried caches can be discovered easily by magnetic sensing devices or ground-penetrating radar. I don't discuss detailed strategies in public, but you can figure out that the weapons are harder to find if they're hidden under or behind some steel structure, which then absorbs both radar or the magnetic sensors. I don't like outside burial because of the difficulty of burying or retrieving in privacy, and it's always better to bury valuables inside a building or basement, especially under some sort of equipment. Some states are resisting the move to gun bans, unlike New York, Illinois, and California, which are all pushing for more draconian gun bans. Three states, Wyoming, Missouri, and Texas, are considering legislation that would make it a felony for federal officers to infringe on the right to possess an assault weapon within their state. I'm not sure these bills will pass, because there's a lot of milquetoast, middle-of-the-road people in all these states, even though they're generally conservative. But it shows not everyone is jumping on the gun ban train. Best of all, of course, several county sheriffs in Oregon have put the feds on notice that they will not allow the enforcement of any gun ban inside their county, as is the prerogative of any sheriff, as determined by the Supreme Court. They are the highest officer of the law in any county. Sheriff Kim Mueller of Linn County, Oregon, was the first to write an official letter to Biden stating that we must not allow, nor shall we tolerate, the actions of criminals to prompt politicians to enact laws that will infringe on the liberties of responsible citizens who have broken no laws. He said he would consider any gun ban as an infringement on the Constitution's Second Amendment and would not allow it to be enforced in his jurisdiction. Sheriff John Hanlon of Douglas County in Oregon followed up saying the Supreme Court has ruled that when a sheriff chooses to enforce an unconstitutional directive, he is violating his constitutional oath. I will not violate my constitutional oath, he said. Any federal regulation enacted by Congress or by executive order offending the constitutional rights shall not be enforced by me or my deputies, nor will I permit the enforcement of unconstitutional regulations by federal officers within the borders of my county. And several other sheriffs are jumping on the bandwagon, deciding to take a stand. And this is really good news. This is what Sheriff Richard Matt has, who got that Supreme Court ruling stating the power of sheriffs to do this, has been holding seminars around the country and even written a book on it. And it's good to see that message is being spread.
Well, I think we should emphasize the fact that any state legislator or federal legislator who votes in favor of gun control is violating their oath. They've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution, and if they don't like it, why, they should amend the Constitution, but they should not use their power as an elected legislator to violate the Constitution. And I think we should make a great issue out of this and point out that these people do not are violating their oath, and I think we need to stress that over and over and over again. Whether if you're a federal or state employee, elected official, you have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, and whether you agree with it or not, you have an obligation to uphold that Constitution. It is the law of our land, and tragically, we have the vast majority of the people, our elected legislators in Washington, D.C., regularly violate that oath. It has no meaning to them.
Well, the importance of this major battle, Stan, is that we've got to set the point. I mean, the government is going to continue to throw these false flag or provoked attacks on children until they get gun control. We need to draw an inseparable line in the sand that says no matter how many of these shootings there are at schools, et cetera, it has nothing to do with disarming normal citizens. It's not going to help. You know, these people get guns elsewhere. The guns are never going to get put back into the genie in the sense that there's always going to be guns available for criminal acts. It does no good whatsoever to ban guns from ordinary citizens. And so that's the message that must get out on this.
But the most important message to me is if you want to protect our children, you have to have someone there with a gun to protect them. Nobody wants to say that. We have to have people in our schools with guns.
That's right. That's a correct extension of the fact that you're never going to get rid of 600 million weapons. There are always going to be weapons. So the only protection when there are always going to be weapons in the hands of criminals is to have counter-defensive weapons. And that's the point you're making, that in the best defense is to have concealed weapons by teachers. Because, you see, even if you have a guard, a dedicated attacking school can shoot the guard, and then he's got it's open season on anyone else. But if he doesn't know where the weapons are, if he doesn't know walking past a classroom, the teacher's going to have a concealed weapon. There's greater safety in that.
We'll be back in a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get a trial copy of your publication, subscribe to it, and then tell them about the various books that you've written about survival in these difficult times that lie ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription price to support my work, but people can get a free sample issue of what we're talking about today by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. My other website, joelskousen.com, has pictures and rundowns on three major books that I publish in the preparedness field. As you mentioned, I am concerned that as we fight for our liberty, we need to prepare for a possible government takedown, and I don't think it's imminent, but still, we have time to prepare, and I've written books that help people do just that. My bestseller is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It's in its third edition, all-new color map edition, with an additional section on international retreating. It's something for everyone, including those that can't relocate, how to develop contingency plans where you live to be able to get to safety. My largest book is The Secure Home, over 700 pages. Everything you need to know about high security construction and self-sufficiency. And my last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. We just call it the Shelter Book. It's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within an existing basement. All three of these books could be gotten from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. They're among our very best sellers. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, there's a video that's gone viral on the Internet about whether or not, or suggesting that the Sandy Hook massacre was not real, that it was a hoax. It had over 10 million people watch it. Google has branded it as offensive. My problem with the video is that it fails to distinguish between the evidence that points to a government cover-up, that is, evidence of multiple shooters or participants falsifying the weapons used, and distinguish it between the allegations that the shooting never happened at all. All of the evidence they present in the video gets lumped into the main allegation that the shooting was a hoax, not real. Some of the evidence they present is good investigative reporting, but they draw the wrong conclusions when they suggest the shooting never happened. While I'm convinced that there is an ongoing cover-up by state police who refuse to allow the public to see what the school security cameras show inside the school or discuss the other three persons arrested or hauled away, I don't have any doubts that the mass murder happened. It is notable, by the way, that the first official excuse explaining away one of the other persons arrested has just surfaced. The Newtown Bee newspaper inserted this little piece of police propaganda into the story about police union funding. Quote, "A man with a gun who was spotted in the woods near the school on the day of the incident was an off-duty tactical squad police officer from another town, according to the source." Well, that's pure baloney. Notice that they say spotted, when in fact this person was taken down, arrested, and was seen being led out of the woods in handcuffs. If that really was police, he would have shown officers his credentials, and the police would not have led him away in handcuffs. We can probably expect more lame excuses like this as police concoct more false stories to cover for these arrests without telling the actual truth. But here's a look at the main claims that the authors of the video suggest, claiming that the shooting is a hoax. Number one, video coverage showing no ambulances or children around the school in the helicopter video. Actually, there was one ambulance they show, but it was not close enough to the school to be caring for anyone, they say. They also point to the lack of hundreds of children milling around after fleeing the school. The problem with both of these allegations is that there's no time frame on the videos they show. To me, they look like the crisis is already at the mature stage. None of the cars are moving. The children are already gone. The ambulances are gone because there was only one wounded survivor, an adult. The dead children had probably not been removed yet. While investigators did their work, they had disappeared into a black hole. Number two, the Parker family. And this is the linchpin of the entire claim. The oldest daughter presumably dies in the school shooting and yet is seen days later in the arms of Obama, when he comes to visit the victim's families, wearing the same red and black dress that she wore in prior family photos. How could she be alive days later, they say? This happens to be the only conflicting case in the video that I have the ability to verify with near first-hand information. One of my best friends is an MD in a neighboring town to Newtown, and he goes to the very same church as the Parker family. And he has confirmed to me that the oldest daughter is, in fact, dead. He's very aware of the evils of false flag operations by government, and there's no Pollyanna about these things. He looked into it in detail and knows the claims are false. So how about the picture of the daughter with Obama? Well, it isn't her. The picture was of the middle and younger daughters, not the oldest, who was killed. And they look very much alike, so it's easy to make this mistake. The middle daughter is wearing one of the two red and black dresses the family has for the girls. She does look similar, but it is not the oldest daughter in the pictures. How about the father joking with others before making his tearful statement to reporters? Well, the video claims that he and others may be actors. This is not true. Mr. Parker is not an actor. He's a typically soft Christian who makes the most of forgiveness and is evidenced by his remarks to the reporters. And he is capable of both smiling and being cordial and breaking up in front of the camera. They make hay of another video about another couple who is smiling and talking with CNN host Anderson Cooper. What disturbed me about this depiction on the video is the sound was not on, so we could not tell what they were talking about when they were smiling. The narrator merely voices over them and saying this could not possibly be real because they're laughing about a daughter being killed. Well, certainly if the couple were talking about the tragedy directly, laughing and smiling would be inappropriate. But in fact, when you see the actual interview on CNN, they are reminiscing about how wonderful and happy their daughter was with appropriate stories and vignettes. It ceases to become suspicious when you actually hear what is going on. Besides, people are all different. You can't draw such extreme conclusions about how people react differently in front of a camera. Number four, the Sandy Hook Relief Fund being created 2 days before the tragedy. This is a true depiction of a conspiracy. There was also a Facebook page created 2 days before the shooting in memory of one of the victims. The time date stamps for page creations are done automatically by computer servers. This just seems to be a good evidence of something very unusual that cannot be explained away, and I'm sustaining this claim. While a programmer can intervene and change such a date, conspirators in this plot would have had no reason to do so, since it would only raise questions when the direction has always been towards cover-ups. In other words, why would they change the date to be earlier? If they were going to fudge anything, they'd change it to be later. The next day, a video appeared documenting how the creation date information was suddenly not found by a Google search. The same search suddenly failed to produce the page showing the creation date associated with this relief fund. And that's good evidence of conspiracy, especially since the search result only returned one site that showed the page creation date missing.
Hold the thought, we'll be right back here.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or case of water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline, high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Sam, back here with Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead for the last segment.
So we're covering the Sandy Hook video claiming that it was all a hoax, that the shooting didn't occur. And I feel strongly that they are wrong on these assumptions, though they are right in showing some of the proofs that indicate there's been a cover-up. For example, this Sandy Hook Relief Fund webpage being formed 2 days before the actual event happened. But rather than being proof that the tragedy didn't happen, these instances, which I've confirmed, are more likely evidence of foreknowledge by dark side agents who were preparing to make the most of this diabolical massacre before the event happened. And so I'm saying we have to be very, very careful of drawing the wrong conclusions and generating false conspiracy theories, which would detract from the true conspiracies that are actually going on.
And you know, Joel, this is what they do with all of these stage things. They put out so much conflicting information, some of it sounding very logical and truthful, but they get people confused. And we hear not one story, but a multitude of stories, and conflicting stories to the point where our minds just cannot process all this information. And I think that's what this video is. As you point out, 10 million people have seen it, and 10 million people are saying, well, gee, maybe the shooting didn't take place. I agree with you. The shooting took place, but we've not been told the truth about it. And it'd be very, very simple to clarify everything by showing us the videos, but I suspect we will never see the videos that were shot there at the Sandy Hook Elementary School because they don't want us to know what really happened. Certainly there was a slaughter there. Certainly children died, but we haven't been told the whole truth. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, let's move on to the story about whether or not Pearl Harbor was a Soviet plot. A new book by U.S. Army veteran John Coster, entitled Operation Snow, comes to the conclusion that the government plot to induce Japan to strike Pearl Harbor was really a Soviet plot. His reasoning is flawed because the book has a good, even though the reasoning is flawed, the book has a good deal of details about the role of Harry Dexter White in promoting all things Soviet within the FDR administration. Coster claims that White was a Soviet mole high up in the U.S. Treasury and was primarily responsible for managing the provocations against Japan that eventually resulted in the attack on Pearl Harbor. Well, White was a fellow communist traveler, or a communist fellow traveler, and was Assistant Secretary of Treasury Henry Morgenthau Jr. But he was more than a communist sympathizer. He, in my opinion, like Alger Hiss, was a globalist intent on helping bring communists to power for conflict creation purposes. This was wholly a globalist plot to induce Japan to strike Pearl Harbor. And Stalin had nothing to do with it. He was too busy being the recipient of the globalist help in Europe through the Yalta Agreement, etc. Well, Wikipedia has surprisingly good rundown on the evidence about White being involved with helping the Russians at every turn. First, Elizabeth Bentley airs her accusations in 1945. She was a communist and talks about State Department Security Officer Raymond Murphy and his interview with Whitaker Chambers. His notes that Chambers identified White as a member at large of the communists, but rather timid, who had brought various members of the American Communist Underground into the treasury. On November 7, 1945, defecting Soviet espionage courier Elizabeth Bentley told investigators of the Federal Bureau of Investigation that late in 1942 and 43, she learned from Soviet spy Nathan Silbermaster that one source of the government documents they were photographing and passing on to her as a Soviet spy was Harry Dexter White. The next day, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover sent a hand-delivered letter to Truman's military aide, General Harry Vaughan, reporting information that a number of persons employed by the government of the United States had been furnishing information to the Soviet Union, and second on the list was Harry Dexter White. Well, Harry Dexter White was then made chairman of the IMF, International Monetary Fund, by Truman. The FBI responded with a 28-page memo specifically on Harry Dexter White and his communist contacts, and it was received by the White House in 1946. White's nomination was approved by the Senate, acting in ignorance on the allegations against White because the White House failed to share the FBI memo with the Senate. But Truman himself wasn't ignorant. He knew that White really wasn't a communist, but a globalist facilitator inside his government, just like Alger Hiss. And that's why the establishment continued to protect Hiss and White. And I think it's because they weren't actually communists. They were globalists going into the communists and helping them for their own globalist purposes. White was still at the IMF in 1947, more than 2 years after the FBI had alerted the White House about him. And then he abruptly resigned, vacating his office the same day. And that's because, obviously, he heard that he was going to get exposed, and so he left very abruptly. And this was just the day after General Tom Clark ordered a federal grand jury investigation on the Bentley charges. White was never, by the way, prosecuted. Only globalists have this kind of immunity, not real communists. Well, there was much corroborating testimony to Elizabeth Bentley and Whitaker Chambers' charges. But it's interesting to note that Chambers had always said that Harry Dexter White's motives always baffled me as a communist. And that's because White failed to show any of the radical fervor of the communists. He was a globalist in their midst, feigning to be one of them. As I said, the same with Alger Hiss, who was also fingered by Chambers as a communist, but who was protected by the establishment even after going to prison for perjury. There is one note in the Wikipedia article that does point to White being a globalist, which was very obvious during his tenure at the Office of Monetary Research. Quote, White was a dedicated internationalist, and his energies were directed at continuing the Grand Alliance after World War I, and maintaining peace through trade. This is the same thing the globalists are pushing today, free trade agreements, which are anything but about free trade.
And I think that's it's so important, the point you're making. We have to separate the communists from the globalists. And, of course, the globalists always help the communists, but, of course, they are not foolish enough to embrace this idealistic theory. It doesn't work. And yet, of course, they push these concepts all the time. And communism would have failed long ago had it not been for constant infusion of financial aid and help from the United States. God bless you, Joe. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, I think it's so vitally important to understand the various groups that are out there. The globalists are the group that control America through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. Certainly when Obama became president, he appointed 11 members of the 87 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission to actually surround him, his choices for Secretary of State to replace Hillary Clinton, whose husband came from the Trilateral Commission. Obama's choices were Susan Rice, who came from the Trilateral Commission, and now John Kerry, who came from the Trilateral Commission. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only 87 members of the North American chapter. You can go up on the Internet, pull it down, look at their logo. If you look carefully, you'll see the three sixes joined together by an upside-down broken cross. Understand, this is a satanic movement, and yet they backed communism from its inception in 1918, and they backed Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. If you haven't read the books on that, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, written by my friend Professor Sutton, who was a resident scholar at Hoover Institute, until he wrote the book on Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and of course how we helped the communists at every turn. Then they blacklisted him. They put him into a basement room with no light, certainly no windows. They kept him there until his contract was up, and they blacklisted him so he could never get a job in academia after that. They can't let the American people know we financed the Nazis anymore. Of course, the wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret, by John Loftus. We carry these books, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Sutton, Wall Street, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, who had a security clearance three levels above top secret. Goes into how we financed the Nazis. We have a four CD set. My interviews with John, it's called The War Against the Jews. And that's what the last thing they want you to know, of course, is that they killed 2 million Jews in Belarus. And, of course, then they brought the people who did that over to America. And they lived very, very comfortably here. I think it was in New Jersey until they died. We rewarded the people who killed the Jews. But we can't let the people know that. The third great book we do carry, with The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan by Dr. Cuddy, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. How do you understand this whole thing? Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We do hope that some of you will want to get a case of the books. You get a case of 64 books for $150, and we give you a free CD or a four CD set or a free DVD that we produce to help cover the cost of postage. If you can do this, we're a quarter of the way towards getting our goal of so we can get the book reprinted, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The book will change people's lives. You can give the books away. You can sell the books. You can lend the books out. But help us to get the information out about the Brotherhood, which, of course, is what the globalists are. And they were the force behind the Nazis. They were the force behind the communists. They are today. And, of course, they are the force behind the world terrorist movement and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, creating the best enemies money could buy. So, of course, then we can rally the people behind the government, have a powerful, the most powerful military in the world, and they're not defending America. They're implementing the world government. And this is what it's all about, the eventual destruction of America. The establishment of a one-world government, a one-world financial system, the destruction of Christianity, and bringing the Antichrist to power. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1-3.